and you're listening to the Texas Standard. Before sunrise on July 16, 1945, a bomb exploded in the New Mexico desert. It was a new weapon, so powerful that at the time it almost seemed like science fiction. The atomic bomb. Scientists concocted it in a secluded laboratory in Los Alamos, where physicists from around the world hoped to invent something strong enough to end World War II, maybe even all wars. More than 70 years later, Los Alamos is still the nation's leading facility for nuclear research, but years of mismanagement led the U.S. Department of Energy to look for new stewards for the lab, and on Friday it was announced that a group of institutions, including Texas A&M, will now operate the facility for at least the next 5 years under a contract worth an estimated $2.5 billion. This is in partnership with the University of California. To tell us more about what A&M is inheriting and what it means for the future of Los Alamos is Richard Rhodes. You may recognize that name. He's the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Making of the Atomic Bomb. Welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you very much.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like? I mean, most of us have never been, obviously, inside the Los Alamos National Laboratory. What's the place like?
You know, they really are locked down these days. Ever since 9/11, it's really nearly impossible to get a tour. I went through the lab back in the early 1980s when I was working on the making of the atomic bomb. And, I mean, the administrative part is like any set of offices, and what's tucked away, I don't really know. I know that they now have built a facility for making plutonium pits for bombs, or at least they're working on that.
Well, what about the mission of the lab itself? How has that changed over the course of its history? Is it more alike or more dissimilar to its original purpose?
Well, there's a lot more today than there used to be of dealing with questions like nuclear proliferation by other countries or subnational groups, dealing with the possibility of terrorism. So how you inspect and how you sniff out, if you will, that kind of clandestine activity. Mm-hmm. But the lab's basic purpose is now, as it always was, to design and maintain our nuclear arsenal.
Well, then I guess I have a question. If that hasn't changed so much, and you think about the fact that the University of California has been running this lab since the 40s, and they remain part of this new contract, but what does Texas A&M, what could Texas A&M bring to this picture?
Well, I think a fresh approach. I mean, the lab got into some troubles in the 90s with security problems and general breakdown in morale, probably because of the end of the Cold War. I mean, their mission had to change then. It was no longer to keep up with the Russians, or rather to stay ahead of the Russians, because we were always ahead. But rather, it had to be redefined. And there was a real time of turmoil. And I think bringing in a new university just freshens everything and gets lots of new pairs of eyes on the problem. Sounds like a great idea to me.
As I hear you talking, I'm reminded of attitudes toward nuclear energy not that long ago in the 70s and the 80s, and how people used to feel like this could spell the ultimate doom for mankind. Are attitudes changing? Have they changed a whole lot since?
You know, attitudes do seem to be changing where nuclear is concerned. Even in the United States, where there's still a great deal of resistance, mostly, I think, from fear of radiation, from association of nuclear power with nuclear weapons, which is not a valid association. You can't make one into the other as we presently design these things. But there is an increasing movement, even within the environmental movement, to understand that energy source that produces no carbon dioxide once it's up and operating, and even in the manufacture, is no more carbon dioxide productive than solar power, is one that we need. And it's a good, solid, baseload source of energy. And the scale has changed so much in the world toward really world-scale events that the need for energy over the next 50 years is only going to grow.
So how do you answer someone who's seen the China syndrome or who remembers Three Mile Island, you know? How do you answer someone like that who says, really, are we going to risk ourselves this way?
Well, when you look at any energy source, there are risks involved. Dams burst, and Lord knows, oil pipelines break, and oil platforms blow up, and so forth. You have to take these things in context. The fact is, since Three Mile Island, the United States' nuclear power plants have operated with great efficiency. One of the important things that changed was the drawing on the nuclear Navy with its great safety program of training for reactor operators. Almost everyone who runs our power reactors these days went through the nuclear Navy program, which is a really good connection.
Richard Rhodes is the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Making of the Atomic Bomb. His new book, Energy, A Human History, has just been released. Mr. Rhodes, thanks so much for speaking with us on the Texas Standard.
Thank you.